Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Time with Pastor Steph. How are you? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? We are really having these wonderful, powerful weeks. And we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the new time crew. And we had signs. You're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. Oh, we started off the week kind of powerful. This ain't even up for consideration. If you don't want to make sacrifices for your partner's benefit, well, you're going to have to stop that. Yes, sirree, yes, sirree. You're going to have to stop that. If you don't want to make sacrifices for your partner's benefit, then I don't even know what to tell you other than you're nowhere near ready to be in a relationship. There's nowhere in the world. If you don't want to put down something to help your partner, nah. It's all about you. No way. All right. And we talked about the fact that we don't accept the concept of that. Now, everybody walks with some level of baggage. You know, by the time you meet this individual, you've been busy with some things. So you just got to leave certain things behind you. Now, when they say baggage, that is never a good thing, pretty much. That baggy word always has a negative connotation. So if someone says so-and-so came into the relationship with baggage, that ain't a good thing most times. Nope. If you're impatient, oh, forget about it. Because there are just going to be things about this individual that you're really not going to like. And if you're not patient and prayerful and ask God to take and cover the things that they're bad with, you ain't nowhere near ready to have a relationship. So that's how we started off the beginning of our Monday. Now, let God set you up right is where Shantice came from this week with her switch tip. Let God set you up right. So we just got things talking about, you know, signs that you're nowhere near ready for a relationship. Well, if you've been praying to God, asking God to help you with some things, and then God starts dealing with you and helping you with the things, well, you know, when he might be trying to set you up right. Yes, because if he's going to answer your prayer regarding, you know, finding you a husband or finding you a wife, then you're going to have to get rid of all that junk. Okay? Absolutely get rid of all that junk. He's going to set you up right. And it's not going to feel good. It's not going to feel good, I promise you. You know, so people are really complaining about, you know, all the aches and pains of getting rid of the things that you don't, you know, that you don't even see wrong. Well, listen, if you're going to be set up, then you might as well let God set you up the right way. Okay? All right. And that's how we spent our Monday morning. Okay? Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day rolled around. And we got to episode 3 of Kingdom Business with our My Two Cents. Oh, have you been enjoying that segment? Well, this is our third week at it. And we were joined by our friend, Brother Andrew Harris. And we got to talking about all the stuff that was going on in that episode. And, you know, there was a segment where, you know, Yolanda Adams' character was talking about the young lady, Rebel, who she's kind of warring against in this ministry. And she just threw some big old shade up in there. And then had the nerve to say, I'm going to pray for her. And started to pray. Boy, talk about shade. Oh, talk about shade. Talk about shade. Oh, my goodness. And you know, church folk, that's how they do you. They're going to pretend like they're praying about you and praying for you. And they don't mean you no good. Well, speaking of prayer, we also talked about a segment where dad was helping daughter, you know, and she was talking to him, and, you know, he decided to pray over her. And we got to this conversation of your prayers possibly being hindered by the activities and things in your life. And the Bible does speak of this. You know, don't get caught out there where you're doing stuff and there may be things that stand in the way of answered prayer. So it was a really interesting conversation. We kind of was in the middle of the fence when we talked about, you know, how this episode 3, Let It Burn, got rated. So I think you need to go back and listen for yourself. Okay. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and Vivian got us started with her socially conscious segment, and we talked about, well, Vivian talked about the Jackie Robinson Museum finally opening up. Now, this project initially started in 2008, and here we are in 2022. And it's finally, all the red tape and all the interruptions that took place, you know, it finally went up. And it's not a bad cost factor. It's only $18 for adults and $15 for children and seniors. Okay, so go ahead and see how you can enjoy the Jackie Robinson Museum. It ain't been through some things already, and it just opened up the door. But thank God it's opened up, and a nice salute to Mr. Jackie Robinson himself. Well, the wow story of the morning was of the bishop who got robbed in Canarsie of over $1 million in jewelry, all while he was live streaming his service and sermon. Yes. So, you know, I'm a little scratching my head, because there were a lot of things that came out from the ladies And as I said to you yesterday, Pastor Ken said, I'm not going to be in that church. Nah. Yeah, it really makes you wonder, you know, what's going on with him and the wife and, you know, why you can live in another state all posh and your community that your church is in is, are they suffering? We don't know. But it is in the hood. So I know that hood must be looking really good if your house is looking that good. Well, it was a mighty, mighty, mighty fine conversation on Wednesday morning between the ladies, and we finished off the morning with our Pastor Charlene with her Faith Over Fear segment. A fine job done as always. Well, yesterday was Therapeutic Thursday, and we got our little talk on about Therapeutic Thursday, and we talked about the things that you shouldn't say to your pastor. Now, that was a really interesting conversation, as, you know, there were times when the panel agreed 100%, and there was a time where the panel was split. And we talked about you saying the pastor is not meeting your needs. Well, that was unanimous. They didn't think that you should say that to your pastor. I'm not being spiritually fed. Now, that one was a split. Now, what else did we talk about? Now, I'm not saying who said it, but some people are saying. Now, that also was a unanimous vote. No, you don't say that to the pastor. Not to your pastor. Yeah, they say, come clean, and tell it like it's T-I-S. Yes. So that was an excellent conversation yesterday. Very interesting. Very interesting, as you heard everyone's opinion on this whole, you know, the way you talk to your pastor thing. So that was really, really fun yesterday, getting to hear how everyone, you know, weighed in on the things you should say or you shouldn't say. Well, today is Freestyle Friday. Oh, it is the end of the week already. This week just breezed on by. But God has been very, very, very gracious and has allowed us to enter into this Friday morning. And I'm going to give you a chance to go get that healthy breakfast. I'm going to give you a chance to go and tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure, you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Making the most of sunny days doesn't mean putting your health at risk.
In the Las Vegas heat, your body needs more than the daily recommendation of water. If that seems hard, you can try to improve the taste by adding fresh fruit slices.
Plus, don't forget to protect your skin. Reapply sunscreen every 2 hours and after swimming.
Also, check the expiration date. Sunscreen 3 years and older is no good.
Take 5 and care for your health this summer.
This Take 5 to Care message is brought to you by Henderson Hospital.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Yes, 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 yes. Thank God for the end of the week. And also thanking God that he ushered us into today with a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day ahead of us. You know, so if things are not quite looking the way you want it to look, you know, go talk to God. Go talk to God and see what he can do about this thing, what he's going to do about this thing, you know? Don't let everything just weigh you down that you can't even talk to the Lord, because sometimes the reality is it gets that way sometimes. And, you know, we're just on our knees and we're just breathing. Just breathing. Trying to figure out what it is we need to say to the Lord. Well, let the Spirit speak to you and for you. Yeah. That's what it's designed to do. Yeah. Bring to remembrance our scriptures and all the things that we have studied, and just kind of fall back in that and just let God do his perfect work in you. Yeah. It's always work to be done. So, you know, when you get on your knees and you really don't know what to say and you don't really have anything to say, because I have so many people who have asked me that over the years. And I said, listen, don't worry, just get in that position. Start saying thank you, you know, and then maybe sometimes when that gets started, you'll start sprouting some thoughts and you'll know what to say to God. All right? So you don't have to scratch your head and find out, you know, the hard way. All you got to do is go to God. Just talk to him. Go to him, even on your knees. So I don't know what to say, Pastor Steph. I get on my knees and I'm just silent. And sometimes that silence means that God needs to talk to you. You know, it is supposed to be a two-way conversation now. Not only what you can say to him is what he says to you during that time when you're before him. So you let him know that you're ready to receive whatever it is he's got to give you, he's got to say to you, and that position indicates that physically you're ready, because it says that I'm here on my knees. I'm not doing anything else, but I want to get what I need to get from you. So it's not all that hard. Nope. Not at all. It's not hard at all. Just get to talking. And like I said, if you don't have anything to say, and as far as you're concerned, we all got something to be thankful for. We all have something to be thankful for. And sometimes take a chance, you know, some time to look at the little small things. What we consider small. Just look at those small things. And, you have a mile-long list, because we should have a mile-long list already, because God is doing every day. He is doing. So don't feel so bad if you really have no words. Just stay there for a minute and just start thanking God, and you don't know what he'll come up with, what he'll give you after that, okay? All right now. What are we going to talk about this morning? Well, I got some stories to talk about. Where do we even get started? Well, as Vivian said, you know, this is a listener-submitted story. And here in New York City, the body artist Andy Golub hit Union Square and he painted the naked New Yorkers. Yes, yes, yes. Now, this is a really interesting story for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons why the story is kind of interesting is because they say that some years ago that he was painting someone in the nude openly, back in 2011, and he was arrested and booked on misdemeanor public lewdness charges for painting two nude women in Times Square. But New York City has no law that specifically says that there could be no nude body painting and full public nudity allowed. If it's a part of a play, a performance, an exhibition, or a show. So they had to release him immediately. Well, in 2012, the city kind of gave in and realized that they cannot stop him. And the body painting day got started. So this year, well, you know, what's his ninth? It's his ninth year of painting bodies in the park. And when you look at these people, they are really, really naked. And, you know, can you imagine where there's no rule or law against doing something like this? Yeah. Well, they say there were 30 artists and 50 models. And they got to painting. And after they got to painting, when it was done, there was some show and walking around and parading and, yeah, all of that. They say that after the event, models and artists went into the parade and through the city on a double-decker tour bus before landing in Bushwick for an after party. So they made like a whole day of this thing. Yeah. And they do have people who come back from year to year, and they're proud of, you know, what they do. Yeah. So, I tell you, everything is allowable after a while. Everything is allowed. Okay? All right. Well, another story that I found kind of interesting. Now, there was a man who was in Alabama. He was convicted of killing his former girlfriend decades ago, okay, back in 1994. And he was dating this young lady, and I think she was 26 years old. She was 26 years old, and he started stalking her when she gave him, at a later date, some rejects. And she didn't want to be bothered with him, and he stalked and harassed her for months before actually killing her. So they say that on August 15th, 94, after she had been out shopping with a friend, that this James forced his way inside the friend's apartment from his waistband and shot her three times. Well, he's been awaiting this death sentence that he had been given. And the family of the woman was begging them, you know, the state not to execute him. They wanted him to serve time. They wanted him to just do life in prison. And this has been going on for a while. It's been going on for quite some while. Well, they lost. Yeah, they lost, and he was given the lethal injection. Yep, they said that they gave him an opportunity to speak, as we always see on TV, you know, that they give you an opportunity to speak to the family, but they said he said nothing. He said nothing. There was never any doubt that he had done it. The family says that they've forgiven him. And they did not want him to die. They just wanted him to serve the life prison sentence. And the state said, no, the judge said no. That what he did was heinous, executing this young lady, and she wasn't going to change it. Yeah. So can you imagine, you know, they're saying that, well, why would you execute somebody who we don't, you know, feel that way about anymore? We've forgiven him. We want him to just do his life sentence. And, you know, she felt that the judge felt they had to prove a point. So that I found very interesting, that even with the family weighing in, and they've been weighing on this for a while, that the judge said, no, I'm not going to grant him any, you know, pardon. I'm not going to get him out of this. He's going to have to eat every bit of this death sentence, and he did. Yeah, so that's sad. I think that's sad. I think that's sad. You know what? Why don't you give me a hit? 347-285-7777. And let me know, you know, what you think about this particular, you know, situation. Where should they, should they have cared? Should they have cared, and or the judge care whether the family themselves didn't want it? Should that have mattered? Some say yes, some say no. Well, what do you say? Because I'm interested in thinking, you know, in hearing how you think. Okay? So let's hear from you this morning. You know how I feel about hearing from my due time listeners. All righty. Okay, well, we talked about Uber a few weeks ago and how they had like 500 or so that class action lawsuit because all of the women were, you know, accusing them of, you know, raping or molesting them and so forth and so on. Well, Lyft is in the news now. And this here, you know, somebody got to do some time. I'm sorry. Somebody's got to do some time. Well, this Sydney Wolf, 43, who used to be an aide to Governor Cuomo, he was struck by a car on the highway when the Lyft driver put him and his friends or whoever he was traveling with out of the car right on a main highway, Route 1. And, like, what is with these people? What would possess you? What in the world could you be arguing about that you couldn't take it anymore and put them out on a thoroughfare? Yes, they said on a Delaware thoroughfare. He got angry and told everybody to get out. Now, can I say this? Can I say this to all of you? You know which side of the fence this is on. Because first of all, you could have pulled up in front of somebody's house. And if they were not going to get out, they weren't going to get out. You would have had to call the cops to get them out of that car. Ain't no way in the world you going to let us out on the main Delaware thoroughfare because you were angry with your passengers. Oh, no. He would either have to pull a gun or call the cops. Because by the time they got finished threatening to tear him up or her up, as the driver I'm talking about, yeah, you would have definitely reconsidered that. So you have this Sydney Wolf, 43. They say it was about 1:44 a.m. in the morning, and he was with five of his friends. So this must have been some big old car here. because here in New York, they always tell me they don't let you carry more than a certain amount of people. But they were in the car, and it doesn't say what happened. They just say in the article that it's an unknown, you know, argument. And this is crazy because they don't even have what the argument was about. They just have, you know, like comments from everybody, you know, what they said. But they don't have why they were even arguing and what took place that you really figured you got to get them out. Because it says that the Lyft driver picked up the six friends in Dewey Beach and was taking them to Bethany Beach when he terminated the ride after an unspecified argument. So who knows? Who knows what the argument was about? So you can only imagine on the flip side of that, if you were the driver, what must have been going on in your car or your truck or whatever this was that made you pull over on a Delaware thoroughfare to put them out. So when you look at this on both sides of the fence, you know, you really got to wonder what in the world could they have done to him that made him pull over on the thoroughfare and say, y'all got to get out. Now, were they smoking weed or, you know, were they endangering him somehow? Well, I don't know. But it had to be some serious thing going on. Well, they had an online fundraiser and they collected $60,000 in one day. They say that this gentleman always had a smile on his face, always very happy. He was a husband and a father, and everybody loved him. So with all of that said, I'm still trying to figure out, well, what happened? What happened? You know, what happened that made you put these people out? And what happened was everyone got out safely except for him. Yeah. They say that when he stepped out of the car, a driver in a Toyota Corolla behind the Lyft, and he switched lanes to avoid the stopped car. So that shows you that this was an abrupt stop, because he had to swerve around and switch lanes just to keep from hitting the car that they were in. And unfortunately, that's when this individual was struck. So I'm real interested. They're gonna come back with this one. And I'm gonna be on top of this. They say, you know, Lyft, you know, gave their comment, and they say that they have permanently removed the driver from the Lyft community, and they are assisting law enforcement with their investigation. Well, of course they are. Of course they are, because they don't want to be a part of the lawsuit. His record, oh, well, they could very well be held accountable. You better believe it. They could very well be held accountable for what happened, especially if his record is not spotless. And, you know, they may go after him anyway. They may go after him anyway. It doesn't necessarily matter, you know, for these people. They listen now. These people do whatever it is they want to do when it comes to these lawsuits. Even if they don't win, they're going to go after whoever they think that they can get some money from. And I would not be surprised if we heard later that Lyft was being sued. And they may keep it out the newspaper and do it on the sly. We don't know. But definitely, I can guarantee you these people going after Lyft, because they want that driver's record revealed. Because if they find out that he has done this before, or there's some other recklessness in his jacket. Oh, they're going after him in a big way. After him in a big, big way. Well, speaking of going after, I have a follow-up story to our Wednesday Wow story. So we were talking about this flashy bishop. And now, I don't know, again, because I don't look at TV. I don't have any idea as to, you know, what they have put out there on the TV. But I will tell the story of Bishop Lamar Whitehead, who we know was the one who was robbed the other day for his jewelry and the wife's jewelry. Well, they say that he is accused of stealing $90,000 from a congregant in a lawsuit that was filed last year. Yep. They say that allegedly he has a history of grifting and even served time in prison for identity theft and grand larceny. So this Pauline Anderson, who's 56 years old, she accused this bishop of convincing her to liquidate her life savings and pay him a $90,000 investment in November of 20. Now, in exchange, he promised that he would buy and renovate a home for her. And that's what the lawsuit says in the Brooklyn Supreme Court. Now, he also, let me make sure I got this right, yes, he also agreed to pay her $100 a month since the savings was her only source of income. So that right there already confused me. Because why are you, if you're taking the money to go buy the house and, what did they say, to buy and renovate the house, why would you need to give her $100 a month? So that already sounded weird to me. Well, they say he only allegedly made one $100 payment to this woman, and that was back in January of 21. And each time she asked about the status of the house, subsequent to that, he repeatedly told her that he was tied up with his election campaign for Brooklyn Borough President. So you take her money so you could buy and renovate her house. You then tell her you're going to pay $100 a month. You only pay one $100. And then you tell her that you can't do what you need to do because you're tied up with your election campaign as the Brooklyn Borough President. Now, this already shows you something ain't right. You know, remember Pastor Charlene had her conspiracy theory to update? Well, here's how the story continues. They say instead of helping her find a home, he used the money as a down payment on the contract to purchase a $4.4 million home for himself in Saddle River, New Jersey. Yep, that's the allegation. Now, this woman was introduced to him through her son, Rashid, in 2020. And he helped him to buy a home. Okay? And she found out about the house after he accidentally sent an email to her son about the purchase. So you not only greedy. You're not only a con man, but you just sloppy. That's how you accidentally sent an email to the son, and you don't mean to send it to him. You should be sending it to somebody else. So I'm gonna tell you what I think. I think him and the son was in for that money. I'll be honest. That's the first thing I said to myself when they brought up this son. I'm like, there's a whole lot of grief in this chicken here. So that Saddle River purchase didn't go through. But he did buy a $4.5 million apartment complex in Connecticut. And she said she was told she couldn't get a mortgage because of her bad credit. So that's when he stepped in with the offer to help. So she says that, you know, she had a little reservation about handing him that kind of money. But she went through with it because he was supposedly a man of the cloth and had previously helped her son secure housing for him. So he later told her that he was investing the cash in his company and had no obligation to pay it back. This is what the lawsuit is saying. Now, are you following this trail? He told her he was investing the money into his company that $90,000, and he had no obligation to pay it back. So she was left with nothing but a vague promise from him to pay the funds back in the future. Now, how I'm supposed to think you're going to pay me this money back? You didn't invest it in an apartment complex. You doing all this other shanky stuff. You keep coming up with something that I can't get my money back. So she's seeking $1 million in damages from his morally reprehensible acts and for losing her entire life savings. Well, why would you turn over that kind of money? Why? Why? Well, guess who he's friends with, if you don't already know? He's friends with our mayor, Eric Adams. And they are buddies. Yes, they are. So, you know, see why I say? And that there's always too much grease in this chicken. Yes. So I know we're going to follow up on this story, either Vivian or myself, but we're going to follow up on this story. Yeah. Well, before we go to our men, I have an extension on this story. And, you know, we talked the other day a lot about the flashiness and, you know, why is he dressing all fancy? Why would you need to dress like that if, you know, you're going to church in the hood? Why would you dress like that and you're in the hood? And, you know, these people might, you know, they might have needs and they didn't give you all their money. And now, you know, you doing what with it? Well, they say that he defends his lifestyle. And clearly there have been a lot of questions coming up about his, you know, all of the stuff he wears. And because they said not only is the jewelry a lot of money, but the clothes itself, a lot of money. Okay? Now, they're saying that he previously did 5 years in prison for identity fraud and grand larceny. Now, I know that Mrs. Anderson would have wished she knew that piece of the pie before she gave up that $90,000. So he was on Instagram, and he was insisting that his public displays of wealth didn't lead to Sunday's gunpoint robbery in Canarsie. Now, that's the first thing the ladies talked about on Wednesday. You know, it's not about me being flashy. You know, it's about the other people. It's about me purchasing what I want to purchase It's my prerogative to purchase what I want to purchase. You see what we're talking about? You standing up in there with all your flashy clothes and all your flashy jewelry, and then you it's your prerogative to purchase what you want to purchase. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You can purchase whatever it is you want to purchase. However, there's a whole set of people that's looking at you, who's tithing and giving offering, and you come up in there flashy and dressed to the nines, and they don't have basic. You know, I like I said yesterday, you know, you've got over $1 million on your body, and people trying to figure out how they're going to get a milk because the milk shortage. There ain't no shortage. He wearing it around his neck. Because if you were to take that one day's apparel, and give it to someone who could make milk, how many babies would have been fed out here? Well, they say that the thieves made off with a treasure trove of items totaling almost $1.6 million. So they say it was a $75,000 Rolex, a $75,000 Cavalier watch, a $25,000 Episcopal ruby and diamond ring, a $25,000 Episcopal diamond ring, a $25,000 pair of earrings, a $20,000 diamond and emerald cross, a $20,000 Episcopal ring, a $20,000 Episcopal cross, and a $10,000 Episcopal gold cross. Now, I guess some of these crosses and rings the wife had, because why would you need two watches? Because the first two things they mentioned, a $75,000 Rolex, and a $75,000 Cavalier watch. Why would you need to wear both? So this has got to be he and the wife's merchandise. Yeah. This is ridiculous. This is really, really ridiculous. Can you imagine you wearing $75,000 on your wrist? And again, I say, these people out here can't get formula. Now, you could set up a whole formula producing, manufacturing company right there in the hood for all that $1,060,000 that you wore on one day, the two of y'all had on in one day. Now, he said the suspects were all wearing masks, but he said he could see their faces. Now, there's been some conspiracy theory that he is a part of it. Would you really tell the people who came in there with guns, brandished the guns while you were on the pulpit? They claim at one point that the people put the gun in the baby's face. You would really then go tell the news that they were wearing masks, but you could see their faces? If you were really in fear, really, really in fear of your life? Man, they say they took all of my wife's jewelry. He says they took all of my wife's jewelry, took all of my jewelry, and then they left. He said he was even robbed of his wedding band. Yeah. And he claims that his congregants were left traumatized. Well, I guess so. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't even think I would feel comfortable being up in there with him having on that kind of jewelry. Because, again, we in the hood. How long was that going to last? How long was that going to last? Now. Check this out. He told them that the three suspects fled in a white Mercedes. Right? He said he saw them change their clothes in the car as he futilely ran after them. And then, This is too much. It's just too much. It's just too much. It's just too much. Shut up. Stop talking. Stop talking. Stop talking. Because already you sound guilty to me. Already he sounds guilty to me. Yeah, come on. Put two and two together. You able to say all of this? You able to say that they got masks on, but you see them? You're able to say that they were, you know, they got away after they got in the car and started changing clothes? Man, I'm telling you, this is something else. This is something else. Now, let me find my D-Time crew. Let me find my men and get to talking. Where's my brother Al? Where's my brother Al? Good morning, brother Al.
Morning, top of the morning. How you doing?
I am well, thank you. I am well. Before I go any further, and you stop me, do you have a quote this morning?
I sure do. And that quote is, the way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. That's by my man Walt Disney.
You know what? I can't.
Why other people can't have quotes, Pastor Steph? Why other people can't have quotes?
No, I said that they couldn't. I didn't think that came from Walt Disney. That's why I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for a man who's got billions and quadrillions of dollars from his, you know, all of his stuff, I guess he could say, you know, that you got to stop talking about it, but start doing. Makes every bit of sense. But I just didn't
want
to go down like that. All righty. We've got some stories. We've got the people in New York City naked in the park, being painted naked, and afterwards they went on a parade. They got on the tour bus and rode around, and now, this is the way we're going to do this once a year, Brother Al. What do you think about that?
They going crazy. You know, it don't sound like outside of the fence. We ain't going out there getting bucket naked and doing some painting. So,
yeah.
You know, they just keep putting these crazy rules in, and you know, it's you know, nobody want to see that. You forget kids may be walking through there. You know, they don't think. They just, oh, it's freedom. Them do, you know, like, come on. Just insane. Absolutely insane.
Well, they're doing it. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, what do you think about the man in Alabama who was tried, found guilty, and put on death row for decades? And he was just executed, but the family didn't want him executed. Do you think that they should have had a say?
Man, because, you know, I'm looking at it on both ways. You know, the family who might have had someone did something to their family, and they wanted the person executed, and the judge was like, no, they got life in prison. So I'm kind of on the fence with that. But, I honestly think, you know, thinking about it, I think the family should have some say-so in it. Like, you know, they're the one that's suffering for what happened. And obviously these people have the Lord in their life to be able to forgive somebody of a hideous crime like that, because we all know forgiveness is one of those really hard ones. And for this family to say, yeah, hey, listen, we forgive him, you know, or her, whoever it is, and, you know, we don't want them dead. Let them just serve life in prison. I think the judge definitely should take that into consideration.
Okay. Well, I think she did. And she was like, no. Because actually, in the article, it does say, you know, she considered what the family had to say, and she weighed it out, and then she ended up saying, nah, he going down. He going down. What he did was heinous. It was senseless, and he took this woman's life, and no, I'm not giving him, no, he's going to take this. So
right.
They thought maybe he would get a stay from the governor, but he didn't, so she went ahead with it. So, all right, before we get to talking about the bishop, let's talk about this aid who got out of the car with five friends, and he got hit by a car and killed. Now, they were on a main thoroughfare in Delaware, and now he's dead. Who pulls over a lift and puts you out on the side of a highway and stepping out of the car? He was hit. Lawsuit?
Now, who was hit, Pastor? Was it the Uber driver that was hit?
No. So the Lyft driver, they say
for Lyft driver.
Unspecified reason, suddenly stopped the car and put the six of them out. Now, when this ex, well, he was Cuomo's aide when Cuomo was in office. He was some kind of aide to him. So that's why they call him the aide or whatever. Well, he stepped out of the car because they were being put out, and he got struck by another car on this thoroughfare.
Wow. Well, I was listening to the story. Number one, it's me and five friends, it's six of us. You're not putting me out on no highway, okay? You going to have to call police to get us out.
Yeah.
You know, you're not putting me out on the highway. You nuts? Okay, we might have been acting wild or whatever the case. I understand that. Get us to the next town and I'll get out. I'm not getting out on no highway. But that ain't happening. That just ain't happening. So it seems like they had to be really reckless, doing some crazy reckless things for him to say, okay, you know what? I'm pulling over and I want y'all out now.
Yeah.
He crazy for that. You know what? I'm going to get to the nearest. I'm going to get off whatever exit coming up next. That's where we're getting off and y'all getting out or I'm calling police. So I think people forget how dangerous the highway is. You know, you got these cars coming at these certain speeds and they can't stop. I've seen pileups and man, it's not a good sight.
Yep. And, you know, if you look at the article and they show you, you know, what it looks like, There was no real shoulder anyway. So they said he was getting out on the passenger side of the car, and he got struck. So I agree with you.
Wow.
If somebody abruptly stops and tells you to get out now, that really makes you wonder. Y'all doing something so bad that he can't even wait till he can get off at the next exit right there, right then and there. You will get put out?
Right.
Really? Wow. And I said earlier, that couldn't have been us because he would have had to call the police. Because they wouldn't get out that car.
Yeah.
Nah, Brother Al. Well, before we start talking about the bishop, let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Brother Al.
Yes, ma'am.
Pastor KL, good morning.
Good morning. I was glad when they said unto me, get on the Due Time Show this morning. That quote was by Pastor KL.
You know what? I can't. You don't have anything profound from Walt Disney to say?
No. MICKEYMOUSE.
Oh, that's as profound as it gets. Oh, my goodness. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So we got three stories we want to really quickly review before we go into our main news story. So you have the New York City painters who are painting these people, their body in the nude. After they finish going through this whole thing, this is the ninth year of this, and after they finish, they go on a parade, they get on the tour bus, and then they go to somewhere in Bushwick and have an after party. What kind of mess is this?
Well, I mean, I don't know that that's news. I'm not really surprised. I remember I've been married now 15 years, and the first year I got married, I took the whole family to New York. And we went down, because, of course, you know, Times Square is a big thing in New York, so we went down to Times Square. And there was people out there with their breasts painted and body painted. I mean, even then, and this was talking about 15 years ago. I don't know that they were doing any parades and stuff like that, but surely they were naked.
Yeah. Well, they're still doing it. For this particular gentleman, it's his ninth year of doing this. And that was probably him back then 15 years ago. And, you know, they couldn't arrest him because they said that there's no law that says that you can't do this stuff. There's no law that says
that's no different than the people out there taking portraits. You know, they're painting portraits.
No, it's no different.
If you got a willing model, then you don't charge them.
Well,
that's some kind of paint right there, because you know stuff sags and don't settle right. So that's kind of that's some kind of paint with the illusion.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, they gave some pictures in the article, and I got to tell you, you ain't lied. Because there's some stuff that's going on out there. And what you see is the paint on top of it. And I'm like, wow, really, y'all? This is what we're doing? Yeah, this ain't one of my things. I don't even know if I want to watch the parade. That ain't an option. I don't think so. No, that's all right. I shall pass. All right, so we had this gentleman in Alabama who was on death row for decades after killing his ex-girlfriend, and the family did not want him to be executed. They wanted him to serve out the life sentence because they felt that they had forgiven him, and you know they felt that their desire should be given some weight. What do you think?
I think that is a lot of forgiving. You know, that is definitely, I take my hat off to them. But I also say that I think that, you know, their decision or how they felt should be given some weight. I mean, after all, I'm the one who's been affected more than anybody else. You know, so if I could forgive, by all means, you should be able to forgive.
Okay. Okay, yeah, they really, really, really were very upset because they've been in this fight for a while and only to lose. And the other day he was given the lethal injection. So, you know, that's something that they'll have to think about. So, unfortunately, you know, all the time our voice is not given the weight that it should be possibly. So, we've got this gentleman who stepped out of a car on a main thoroughfare, and out of the six people, he was the only one who was struck by a car. Now, what's your thought on being put out of a car on a main thoroughfare, and now you you get hit and killed, and your family has to live without you?
Yeah, first of all, I think I'm like Brother Al. I would have got out. You'd have had to put me up. I mean, you'd have had to literally grab me and get me out of there. I wouldn't have got out. Not only that, if I was that disruptive as the driver, I would have drove you to the police station. Say, hey, okay, you want that crazy? Let me go over here and talk to these cops. Because now I'm looking at, you know, I could probably be charged for his death. Because they were acting like idiots.
Right.
You know, so if they was acting that bad, then you should have took them to the proper place, and then we could all talk to the cops. You don't want to listen? You don't want to calm down? Okay, here's a place where you can act like a monkey if you want to.
That's true. That's very true, because like I said also, you wouldn't have been able to get me out no car. You would have to pull a gun or something to make me run. But other than just telling me to get out, I would have called 911. Is this legal? He tried to put me out on the thoroughfare you must be crazy. You must be crazy. So, you know, I mean, is this a fight that you, you know, really want to have as an individual person? But definitely, there's six of you in the car. What's he going to do? Unless he pull out a you know, a Glock or something, that ain't bringing no whole lot of fear. So I don't know what they were doing that they were even willing to get out, but they got out. They definitely got out, and unfortunately, he was the only one that was hit. So, you know, just don't get out of a car on the highway, y'all. Please don't do that. Don't do that. All right, Brother Al and Pastor KL. You know, we are talking about this bishop from Brooklyn who was robbed. And they say that he himself robbed somebody. Now they have this lawsuit from this woman who's 56 that she took her $90,000. She was supposed to be putting on a home and getting the home renovated. So she gave up this money. He took the money. He was also supposed to give her $100 a month back every month. I don't know how this was working out. Because if you give somebody money to buy your home and renovate your home, why do they now owe you $100 a month? I don't know. So that already sounded pretty shady. And he got to the point at the end when she was asking for her money. He was like, no, I invested it. I spent the money. And you're not going to get it back, pretty much is what he said. Pretty much is what he said, that she wouldn't get her money back. Brother Al, let's talk about that part, about you giving away $90,000 and now you in this brawl and fight in court for your $90,000.
Wow, you know, me and you spoke, and we both said it was more to the story and there's going to be more to come. So here's that more to come. Now, the thing is, what did you sign? Now, she could want to fight all she wants, but if she signed some papers agreeing to all those terms that he put in there that he ain't had to pay it back and this and that, then she wasted money going to court for no reason. You know,
well,
and again, it comes back to –
no,
go ahead.
No, before you went, remember now, you're talking about signing a contract. The initial agreement was she would give him – she had bad credit, so she couldn't get the – she couldn't get this loan for this home. And because he had helped her son get a home, she agreed to give him this $90,000 so that he could get her a home and renovate it. That was the agreement. And for whatever the reason is, he would give her $100 back each month. So I don't know where that part comes in, but that was the initial agreement. She didn't sign that says, you know, you don't have to give the money back because it was nothing. She wasn't investing in anything per se. This was literally to purchase a home and renovate it for her.
Right. So she crazy from the beginning for not getting nothing in writing. And then she went into a verbal agreement. So, again, how the law works when they go to court is her word against his. You know what I'm saying? So, because she didn't get nothing in writing. She should have got something in writing. But, again, this is what make the churches look bad because she, you know, as I heard you reading, she look at, okay, he's a man of God and stuff, so he going to do the right thing, you know. And this, again, what make us from the church look bad. And I hope everybody who's listening look at, you know, everybody who's listening to, you know, see that. Like, with God, I don't care who it is. You, business is business. You know what I'm saying? You be doing business, we writing up something, and we going to sign it. Don't just take it as, you know, hey, listen, you know, he's a man of God, so he's going to do the right thing. You know, the Bible said there's going to be false prophets out here, you know, and it's happening.
Very good, very good. It's very true. You can't, why would you, but my question is, even if it were Even if it were something in writing, Brother Al, why would you put $90,000 in someone's hands? Why? And he ain't got no real estate license. You know what I'm saying? He has nothing.
Right.
Just because I saw that you bought a house, you know, you helped my son buy a house, that ain't got nothing to do with my $90,000.
Right, exactly. And you know what else I thought about too, Pastor? On the flip side, you know, that might have been her son sent them guys to come get, oh, you gonna rob my mom like that? All right. Okay. You want to play rough? Okay.
Yep. You don't know. You don't know. That or either he was a part of this $90,000. Well, you know, either he was the one who retaliated by sending them people up in there to get him for that mill, or he was a part of swindling his mother out of this money. Yeah. He got something to do.
Because when them guys came in there, they knew exactly what to do. They knew that he had jury under his robe. They knew it. They knew too much.
Now, we're going to come back to that part. Because that's part of our other our other story. But, no, I agree that there's a possibility that that son could have something to do with that robbery that everybody found out about. So you could be right. You could be right, Brother Al. Let's talk to Pastor KL. Pastor KL, now this is a flashy bishop we're talking about here. You know, she gives him $90,000 in November 2020 with the promise that he would buy and renovate a home for her. And they said that he also agreed to pay her $100 a month since the savings was her only source of income. But why would you feel guilty and give her $100 a month if she's investing her money?
Right. And then how long was you giving her this $100 a month? You know, I mean, was this forever? I just don't understand the $100 a month aspect at all. This sounds like the sequel to Kingdom Building. You know, this is going to be part two or whatever. It makes absolutely no sense. And then, you know, the more sense you try to make of it, the more speculation you do. Because this just does not connect the dots. There is, you know, as I always say, you know, there's something stinking in the camp. In the camp itself, in the church itself. You know what I mean? So you have to expose what that is in the camp to really know what's going on. I think, you know, a lot of folks, I think the pastor, the bishop, might have something to do with it. You know what I mean? For insurance reasons or whatever.
We're not there yet. We're talking about the lawsuit now.
I'm sorry.
We're coming back to that. That's
I'm
the second
sorry.
Story we're gonna go with him defending himself.
Well, I don't think she have a leg to stand on, you know, as far as the lawsuit. You know, like I said, well, you know, like Brother Al said, we ain't got nothing in writing, we just got this verbal agreement, so it's my word again. You know. I mean, the way I'm wearing this jury, maybe that was your $90,000.
Yeah, well, listen, every bit of a possibility that's her $90,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember now, the biggest issue was when she was asking him about her money, they said that he had put all this down payment on this $4.5 million the $4.4 million home. And then, because it says, instead of helping her find a home, he used the funds as a down payment on the contract. So he got a contract, y'all, to purchase a $4.4 million home for himself in Saddle River. But when that fell through, he bought a $4.5 million apartment complex. And just like you men said, she didn't have anything in writing, but he made sure he was going to get something in writing. So already there's an imbalance. And then later he said that she invested in it, into whatever, and he didn't have to give her anything back, and he wasn't. So that's why I agree with you two that there's no signed contract, because if there was a signed contract, he wouldn't be like this. He wouldn't be like this at all. He would. Now, Pastor KL, do you think the brother, the son, has anything to do with anything?
Yeah, by all means. I mean, listen, if you talk crazy to my mom, I'm coming at you. Let alone, you know, you take all her money, I'm definitely coming at you. Because that's my mama. You only get one. You know, as a young man or as a man, especially if you are mama's boy, man, listen, the world's gonna stop for mama. You might let dad get one on the chin, but the world's gonna stop for mama. So yeah, I mean, I'll do whatever I have to do, good, bad, or indifferent, to make sure my mama's protected.
All righty. It makes every bit of sense. It really does. Especially when you're going to be so bold and brazen to tell her that, hey, I don't have to pay you back nothing. $90,000, you ain't got to pay back nothing? Oh, okay. Okay. You really trying to get yourself killed. Absolutely. Now, gentlemen, I want to talk about, you know, this bishop who, you know, he defends his lifestyle. It's his money. It's his prerogative to buy what he wants. Now, the ladies talked about all of this on Wednesday. Brother Al, let's just deal with that right there. He lives in Jersey. He has a congregation here in Canarsie, Brooklyn. And he says he can do whatever he wants with the money. It's his prerogative to purchase what he wants to purchase. What do you think about that as a bishop?
Right. You know, okay, you do have the right. We all have the right to do what we want to do. The question is, should you do it? You know, I can kill somebody, but should I do it? You know, so I think that's a lame excuse right there. You know, okay, it's my money. I could buy what I want and I want like that. Okay, but did you think about what message that you're sending? And it can't, you know, okay, you can do it, but should you do it? So I think he just went past all of that and just said, well, shoot, it's my money. I could buy what I want to do. I could do what I want to do, you know. I don't agree with that.
All righty. Pastor KL, what do you think?
Well, I'm in agreement. I mean, it is your money. And depending on, you know, some of us work hard for our money. You know, so they say, you know, if you work hard, you play hard. However, you know, again, with Brother Al, what message are you sending to the younger folks? You know, a lot of times the younger folks see the drug dealer on the corner and think that's the only way I can get out. So now they see you bling in the church, you know, and is that the way you're getting them in the church? By your bling? You know, and then what are you saying to them after they get in there? You know, to actually defend this bling. I mean, what Bible quote do you have? You know, saying they ain't frankincense or myrrh. You know, I mean, what are you giving these folks that they can hang on why my bishop looks like this? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some preachers, some pastors who like to dress, and I don't have a problem with that because I like to dress too. But when you take it overboard, you know, and now people perceive you as the pimp in the pulpit, then I mean, what does that do to you? How does that benefit your people? Forget about you. Because, again, once you get called to the next level, it's not about you. It's feed my sheep. It's about my sheep. What does that do to the sheep who are still grazing in the yard and you're sitting at the master's table? So I think that's a problem.
Okay. Now, You both said something, and the ladies touched on this the other day. You know, and Pastor Kim just came out and said, I'm going to go to his church. would you and could you be a part of that congregation? If this was, you know, if this was your pastor, your bishop, is this a person that could lead you, Pastor, Brother Al?
No. He wouldn't be able to lead me because, you know, my mindset would be like what Pastor Kale just said. What message are you sending out there, especially to our youth? And we know we need the youth in the church because they're going to carry the torch as we get older. So what message are you sending them? You know, he couldn't leave me. Mm-mm.
Okay. Pastor KL, could you go to this church?
Well, I'm going to be totally honest. Me, where I am now, no. There's no way. But me, as when I was lost, yeah, I might have been gravitated to that. Because I want to know, how did you get what you got? Because, listen, if that's what you're putting on God as a bishop, then, yeah, I want to know the same God you know for all the wrong reasons. Because I want to look like you. I want to be like you. You know, I've gone to some churches in New York where every man is dressed like the pastor. Just like him. Just like him. No, there's no difference. The same suit, same shoes, everything. Might be a different color, different variation, but dressed just like the pastor. And people emulate and imitate, you know, and they want to be part of because they want to get there one day. So me, as where I am now, no, I know not to go there. But when I was lost, yeah, that might, especially the way I like to dress at those times, yeah, I might have been running up in there.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. You know, I want you two to take this quote and give me what you think. He says, sometimes when you're a known bishop, it's a gift and a curse. You become the talk of the town. Now, if you know that you're a known bishop and you've become the talk of the town, would you or should you dress like this if you know it's going to attract the wrong element, Brother Al? Or should you, are you standing on, you know, God's going to cover me?
No. I I'm not going to dress like that. Like, I mean, he said it himself. You know, when you're a known bishop, you're the talk of the town. So why don't you use that to draw these lost souls in instead of dressing with all this gold and all this craziness? You know, you're using your platform for the wrong reason. God
okay.
gave you a platform. If that's the case, God gave you a platform. Use it for his glory, not yours.
All right. Amen. Pastor KL, sometimes when you're a known bishop, it's a gift and a curse. You become the talk of the town. Now, if you already know you're the talk of the town and that it's a gift and a curse, would you or should you even come out your house so gaudy where you attract the wrong attention? But are you going to stand on, well, I'm living for God. He's going to cover me.
No, I don't. Mm-mm. If you're forget about if you're the talk of the town. You know what I mean? You are a representation of God. Let's think about that. You know, we talk about how, you know, these ladies shouldn't dress like this in church because they're a representation of God. And here you are, the head in your church. You are the leader of your church. You know, how can you now speak about modesty? You know, how can you speak about being humble? How can you have any of those sermons, you know what I mean, when you're looking like the billboard? You know, I don't think you should be dressed like that, whether you're a known bishop or whether you just came out the gate as a bishop. You know, we are a representation. We need to look in the mirror and say, hey, would God be pleased with what I'm doing? Would God be pleased with what I'm wearing? Would God be pleased with how I'm acting? And then how can I speak to the masses looking the way I look?
Now, why do you say that? How can I speak to the masses by looking the way I look? Why would you say that?
Because, okay, let's be honest. If 99% of us is all about souls, about winning souls, and we say, come as you are, sometimes because of the way you look, you know, they won't come in there because they feel that they're not adequate or they don't measure up. I can't come to God now just looking like this. Or, you know, when you get there and they see you, it's like, wow, I really got a lot of work to do. You know, the whole perception is totally different. They think if you don't look like this, God ain't blessing you. This is what you define as a blessing. And because I'm not looking like this, this is why I'm struggling. This is why I'm not being blessed. This is why I can't eat. Obviously, I'm doing something wrong.
Okay. Okie dokie now. All righty, gentlemen. So they say he made off. They made, the thieves made off with $1,060,000. That includes a $75,000 Rolex watch, a $75,000 Cavalier watch, a $25,000 Episcopal ruby and diamond ring, a $25,000 Episcopal ruby ring, a $25,000 pair of earrings, a $20,000 diamond and emerald cross, a $20,000 Episcopal ring, a $20,000 Episcopal cross, and a $10,000 Episcopal gold cross. What does that say to you, Brother Al?
That he had nothing better to do with his money. You know, you could have been helping feed all these homeless people we got out here in the streets. You know, you're about self. That tells me you're just about self. I don't care about nothing else. I need to go out here looking good on what I call looking good. So I need to get all this jewelry and just come out there. Now I feel good. Now I can go out here and preach God's word, not knowing that you're not being blessed to preach the word, because when you're standing up on that pulpit, nobody's paying attention. They're paying attention to what you have on. Because I know if I was to walk in there, I'd be like, wow. You got this chain on. I'm not hearing nothing you say. I'm looking at, wow, you got that big old chain on and the gold. Look at his fingers, all of the rings on it, you know. So I'm not hearing the word of God at all because I'm busy watching you. So you like the poster boy for all these jewelry companies. So you're telling me you all about self.
Okay. Pastor Kale, when you hear that this is what he and the wife were wearing, what does that say to you?
Well, what that says to me, honestly, in my spiritual state now, is that you got hoodwinked by a salesperson in the jewelry store. And all these Episcopal juries? Who make Episcopal juries? You got hoodwinked. And because it shined, you thought it might look good. So that already tells me where you are spiritually. You know, because everything that glitter ain't gold. You know, and let's just say you die tomorrow. What are you going to do with $1.something million in jewelry? What happens to it? You can't take it with you. So, I mean, we're not even looking at tomorrow. We're not even looking. I don't know if they have any kids. But what are we looking to leave back? You got everything on your possession. What are we investing in? What are we investing in the body of Christ? You know what I mean? For to get away with $1.something million, they should have took the whole church. Because the church should have been worth $1.something million. But yet on your body, they got away with it. And you still have the building and the sound system and everything still in the church. No. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. What profits a man to gain the whole wide world and still lose his soul? You can't preach to me. There's nothing you can say to me at all. All you can do is give me a benediction. May the Lord watch between me and thee. That's it.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I asked this question on Wednesday, and I want to ask you, gentlemen. You know, so we're getting dressed. Now, you're the bishop, and you're going to give this word at service today. When you're getting dressed, what are you thinking about, Brother Al? Now, keep in mind, I'm keeping this in the same frame of all that jewelry that I just read. This is part of you getting adorned. What are you thinking about when you're getting dressed? What are you really thinking about when you're getting dressed?
Well, what he's thinking about is, okay, I got to make sure these chains is nice and shiny. I got to make sure they clean. I got to make sure they put on right. I got to make sure the clasp is in the back, not in the front. Okay, how does cross look? Do I need to shine it a little bit more? All right, I got this chain on. Where the other chain? Maybe I should put this chain on top of this chain. Oh, you know what? I'm going to put this outside the robe and put this chain inside the robe. Where are my rings at? No, that go on the left pinky, not the right pinky. So his mind is just about where this gold is, the jewelry, diamond, whatever he was wearing, where this go, how I'm going to put this on. Is it shining enough? Is it clean? His mind is nowhere where it should be, which it should be meditating on the Lord's word. So his mind is looking good as he walk out that door.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, you know, what are we talking about here? You have to give the word today, and you're getting dressed to go deliver this word. This is part of your attire. What are you thinking about?
You're not thinking about the word at all. I don't even think that you study. You're not thinking of the word. You're thinking about, okay, I have a performance in an hour. I'm about to get on stage in an hour. You know, that I need to make sure makeup is good, the lighting is good, everything is good. You know, and people don't realize that certain things is a distraction. They too busy looking at you that they can't hear from God. These things are distractions. It doesn't make you look good in any light. If I come to church hurt and I need a word, but I can't see past you, that means I'm not hearing God. If all I see is you, and then he couldn't be one of those really Pentecostal preachers, because, you know, they move a lot and they shout a lot. All them chains would be busting them in the face. So even his whole demeanor had to be subtle, because he'll end up choking himself. So he's not even thinking about giving a word. It's all about a look. He can't sweat a certain way. You know what I mean? He can't get too hyped. You know, it's no. He's not thinking about the word. He's thinking about himself.
Okay. You know, for you to kick in a church door and come with guns in the middle of service, what God is going to do to y'all is above my pay grade. That was his quote. Now, I want you to compare that statement with what you both just got finished saying. Is one sin worse than the other? Or is what he's doing with the jewelry and all stuff, would you consider that to be sinful and can be compared to this whole, they bust up in the church and they, you know, you took the stuff off of us, and now God gonna handle you in the way he can only handle you. Compare the two. Is there a comparison? What do you think when you think about all the things that you've thought about him and his lifestyle and his gaudiness? What does that say for the statement he just made, Brother Al?
I don't know what he's talking about, because we all know that there's no sin that's greater than the other sin, you know. So again, while he was getting dressed and all that, the enemy sitting there smiling, because the enemy know, okay, whatever word he bringing, ain't nobody gonna pay attention. So I got him. So there's no sin greater than the other sin. You're gonna pay just as much as they did, because you created this situation. Yeah, they bust up in the Lord house. No respect for the Lord house. They going down, you going down too.
Wow. Pastor KL, for you to kick in a church door and come with guns in the middle of the service, what God is going to do to y'all is above my pay grade.
And he's right. He's right. He's right. But what God is going to do to you, listen, we've been saying all week, but the righteous will scarcely make it in. So because you think you're the bishop, you think you're going to automatically make it in? At least the people who kicked in the door, they boldly went to the throne of grace. Boldly. They boldly went up in there to get you. You know, and we're there with a job. With a job. And we can't do our job. Now watch. Satan is doing, he's punching in every day. He ain't late. He ain't too busy. He go carry on his mission every day. So you can't be mad at Satan for doing his job. You got to be mad at you. Now, if you were truly speaking the word, I believe that you might have been covered. But sometimes God has to take off the mask of some people in front of people. Sometimes God has to expose you and your behavior because too many people are following you. And he does not want them to go down the same route you're going. So here you are thinking that you look good and you smell good and you and all this stuff, and people can't see past the look of you. Sometimes God will have to help them out.
All right.
Pastor Steph, I'm sorry. And just one more quick note on that too. Sure. Listen to the beginnings of it. Listen to his sentence. His sentence is, God is going to pay you back way more than my pay grade. You're still talking about money. You still saying he's still doing it.
Nice catch, Brother Al. Nice catch. You know, I thought that was some interesting terminology as well, because I'm saying to myself, who talks like that? When all of us, you know, as pastors, you know, when we say things like that, you know, God's going to deal with you. He's going to deal with you greater than I could ever deal with you. You know, what I could do to you, you can't even touch what God can do to you. Who uses that terminology? So that's why I said, let me throw
the reason why most of us pastors don't use that terminology, because we ain't got no pay grade. If
right.
we were doing this thing
right.
for the pay, we'd be broke. We ain't got no pay grade.
Yep.
We got a soul
yep.
grade. We do this for soul.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
We don't, he should have said, you know, I wish that God has mercy on you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he,
right.
he should have still been thinking about the soul. Though I was the victim, I still got to think about the soul.
Right.
Because it was
right.
the spirit that made them do it. But if you were the bishop that everybody knew about, that's, you should have been speaking life into that dead situation. But you're still speaking about you.
Yep. Because even here, we do a segment, pray for them. You know, regardless of what
right.
these people do, we're concerned, like you said, about the souls and what's going to happen. Are you hell-bound or are you kingdom-bound? So, you know, we always talk about this here, you know. And I personally thought that was also a very interesting level of terminology, because I always say the same thing, Pastor K. I'm like, well, we don't get paid for this job. This ain't a job where we can look for a dollar. Most pastors they have jobs, you know, 9 to 5, if you will, you know, and the church doesn't have money to really pay them. So, you know, that's why most pastors have secondary jobs, you know, because that's what's the bread and butter of their family. So when I saw that term, and I was like, who says pay grade? Who says that? So automatically, like you said, you know, the both of you, you know, it's like, yo, we really know where your head is. I want to ask you something as we come down.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing, Pastor. I'm so sorry. And another thing, too, as you listening, he might have mentioned about his congregation one time.
Well, let me go back now. Let me go back. Let me see if that was his way of talking about the church. Okay, so here's what he says. He says, when I see them coming to the sanctuary with their guns, I told everybody to get down. Everybody just get down. And then he says, this is what he posted on Instagram. And then he said, I didn't know if they wanted to shoot the church up or if they were just coming for a robbery. Who right. talks like that, y'all? Who talks like that?
Right.
Who talks like
that? He didn't say, he didn't say, right, he didn't say, hey, I was worried about my congregation. You
right.
know, they
right.
came in, robbed me, scared my congregation, and my concern was, you know, the safety of my congregation. He said, that's all he said about his congregation. So, again, it was all about him.
Yep. And that, I read this article and I was like, wow. You know, he defends, you know, the headline is flashy Brooklyn Bishop Lamar Miller Whitehead defends lifestyle after $1 million jury hike. Now, I have something that I want to ask you two gentlemen. Let's just say for argument's sake that you were more on the, you know, modest side, but your wife was about wearing the $20,000 jewelry and this here and, you know, the earrings and the rings and this and that. What would that do? What would you think as a pastor, as a bishop, if that, it wasn't you, but it was your wife who was dressed in all of this flashy, gaudy attire and jewelry? What would you say, Pastor? I mean, Brother Al.
Oh, that ain't happening. I'm like, where you going? You going out to the club? Do a model shoot? Oh, you ain't going up in here with me like that. Oh, no, sir. Sir. No, sir. It'd be an issue with that. Definitely an issue.
Why?
Because, again, you're taking all the attention off of the word. Because, again, people, you know women love to talk. So that's going to be the first day all the women going to be like, man, you see her? Look at all that. So now you're taking away from God's word. You're taking away from people hearing the word. And then while you're taking away from people hearing the word, if I'm up there bringing the word, of course I see the chitter-chatter. So now I can't concentrate on bringing the word. So you're a distraction. So, no, that ain't happening.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, you ready to walk out the door and your wife, you know, they bought all this gaudy jewelry and she's ready for church. What's your thought?
Well, first of all, we ain't equally yoked, so we wouldn't be married. Because if you got to wear all that clown stuff, you know, we going to have big problems. But that definitely could not work. Because, again, like Brother Al said, that's a distraction for two people, for the congregation and for me. You know, because I got to see you in front of me. The people are seeing you in front of me. And I'm trying to figure out in my mind, why did she wear this? I can't even concentrate on the word for trying to cover my wife. You know, because now I ended up preaching, you know, a word explaining why my wife is wearing this. You know, that becomes part of my sermon now. So, yeah, no, that just wouldn't work. That wouldn't work at all.
Wow. Yeah, some good stuff has come out today, some really good thought-provoking stuff that came out today that definitely takes us into a thought-provoking weekend. And I'd like to thank you gentlemen for contributing to this conversation, and we pray you have a blessed weekend.
You do the same.
All righty. Thank you. All right. Here we are. You know, we spoke Wednesday, about this situation. So we're going to take this time to pray for them. Well, let's go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, because you've always been good to us. Thank you for just waking us up, breathing the breath of life, and allowing us to see a fresh, brand new day with brand new tender mercies. Heavenly Father, we're going to lift up this Lamar Whitehead. And Lord, as a person who has put himself before people with all of this gaudiness, all of the finer wear, We understand, God, that it is not your desire that we would be poor and destitute. However, dear Heavenly Father, we as the citizens in the kingdom, we are concerned, God, about your people. We are concerned, dear Heavenly Father, as to how this is affecting the people in the community, how this is affecting and maybe a distraction to the people who are coming to church every week. It has to be a distraction, God. Whether it's a distraction that makes them desire to look like this bishop, if it's a distraction that they may want to now take it from him, whatever the distraction is, dear Heavenly Father, we pray against that, because we already know that it's hard enough to get people on the right track, to even get them out to service. And now that we have them out, we have an obligation, God. And we pray, God, that this is what he sees. That he sees that, you know what, whether, you know, they were distracted for one reason or not, or they may not have been distracted yet, that there's a potential takeaway that's not godly, that has nothing to do with you. So, Lord, we're not just lifting up him, but his wife as well, dear Heavenly Father. And we're asking you to cover the both of them, wash them in the blood of the Lamb, God, that they may even think differently. That if they're not a part of this robbery in any shape, form, or fashion, God, that they would learn, that there would be something they would glean from this experience. We're thanking you so much, to Heavenly Father, that we can sit on the outside and you've given us eyes to see on the inside. But even if we do dress well, we're dressing well because we're bringing you our best. But we are not going to do anything that is going to take away from you, that's going to take away from the message. And we pray, God, that if there are others out here like this, where they go into the pulpit with over $1 million on their body, and their partners and their mates, their spouse is partnering up with them, we pray, God, for the deliverance, and that they can now humbly come and seek you as to how we need to speak, as to how we need to dress, as to how we need to represent your kingdom. And, Lord, this has gotten a lot of traction, a lot of traction. A lot of noise has been made about this situation. And we are seeing even more, God. That's why you have us, your people, reviewing even something like kingdom business. Because at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about you. And we're grateful, dear Heavenly Father, that you have taken the time to choose us, that we can be a blessing to your listeners. We can be a blessing to your to all of your children. And Lord, we pray that justice would be done properly. However you choose to handle it, you choose to handle it. But we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that if they did have something to do with this, that you would help them to see the light, that you would help them to see that this is not your design, that these people are coming and they're trusting them. They're coming and they want to emulate. They want to emulate what they're looking at, God. And even if that's a mistake, let them pay attention to this so that they can now fine-tune the ministry that you have given them. So we thank you, God, for allowing us to be touched. We're going to lift up to Heavenly Father the gentleman's family who was struck by the car and killed. And we're going to pray for the family and the individual who struck him by accident. We're going to pray for even the Lyft driver, dear Heavenly Father, for whatever was going on, that all he could think of was out. We don't know what was happening, God, and we do understand that there could be some stuff on each side of the fence. But, Lord, we're asking, as the God who sees and knows it all, that all those families would be healed. Because everybody is affected right now. Everybody is affected now. And God, we're just praying for the family who had the forgiveness in their heart. And they did not want to see the man executed. And we pray, God, that they will continue to have the healing that they need in order to just keep their lives clean before you. And that the family of the man who was executed, that they would be healed. And Lord, we're just coming to you for all of the news that we talked about today, God. Even the nudists. The nudists, the painters, God. That this temple does not belong to us. That we can't do what we want to do with it. There is a standard that we must meet. So, God, I'm just asking you to just be with us all, even as the onlookers and the ones who's discussing these stories from day to day, that our heart would always be pure, that we are living what we talk about. We're bringing that before you, dear Heavenly Father, that even we who are on here, we have some things that need to be cleaned up. So we ask you, God, to get to cleaning. Thank you for loving us so much that you just continue to give and give and give. We thank you for using us. We thank you for choosing us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Wow. You know, the story, like I said, it came up on Monday, and I didn't do the story because I was like, you know what, let me do some more research because I know something else is coming out about this. And, you know, who would have thought this thing with this $90,000, you know, we asked God to cover her as well. You know, someone who would be so trusting to give away such a large amount of money. And so I asked, where is your son? Where is he that he didn't cover you? That he knew of this person, but he didn't say, Mom, keep that money in your pocket. You know, let's take care of this the right way. Where there would have been contracts signed and all kind of things. You know, that would be done legally. There wouldn't have to be this fight over he say, she say. Because you're not going to go to a proper authority on buying a home and you're not going to get something in writing. You know, and she's only 56 years old. What's wrong with you? You're not elderly. You know, that's what the elderly people were doing. They were giving away their life savings and things like that because they were too trusting. But you, come on, you have no excuse for this, you know, and you're talking about, you know, the article said that, you know, this was her life savings and she was living off of that. So what do you live off now? What do you live off now? Not a whole lot. And it has to be a hurtful thing to be robbed of your $90,000. But let this be a word to each and every one of us. Be careful. $9, be careful. Because we can't trust man like that. And, you know, it says that, you know, she gave it because she thought, you know, it was a man of the cloth. Well, does that taint her image of God's people? You have to pray against that as well. so that this won't affect her where she's soured from the church. That, you know, there won't be people in that congregation or congregations that look over who really need God. But that's all they see. Oh, I'm not going over there because look at the jewelry he wears. Where all that money come from? And you could legitimately have a job. However, is that what you want to show God's people? Is that what you want to show the kids, the young people these days? You know, who's already trying to get to come up instead of working hard. Why couldn't you just show that we have nice things? Why must it be shown between the two of you over $1 million? Over a million, yeah, I said it right, over $1 million. I can't even imagine that. I couldn't even imagine going to church so weighed down. I couldn't even imagine. And that's why I asked Wednesday and today, what are you thinking about? Because as we're preparing for our service and our sermon, that's where your mind is. You know, I brought up the other day that sometimes we've taken time, we write out this nice little sermon and get up the next day and it's like, I ain't saying that. There's nothing wrong with it. But the timing of it, Does God want you to say something different? Well, there was a whole lot of things that I'm sure he could have said while he's been flossing his $1 million. But how many people were affected? And we have to get to the point where we understand that we need to be concerned about that. That's not for us to play with. When God sends someone our way, we're supposed to snatch them up. Use it and use it wisely. Because there's no promise that you'll have it. It's all earthly goods anyway. And I believe it was Brother Al who said, you can't take it with you. Either Brother Al or Pastor Carol, I'm sorry. You can't take it with you. When they put you in the grave, even if it's going down in the grave with you, you dead. You sleep. You don't know it's with you. So even though they may bury it with you, you're not taking it with you. Because if you are not caught up in that first resurrection and you actually have to get on that judgment line, it ain't going to matter. Because I should really hope that that's not where your head is. But now, what happened to my jewelry after? You know, did the wife ever get that money? Oh, listen, there's a whole lot to be thinking about. And that is not it. So, you know, even as Christian people, we have to watch what we do. We have to watch what we say because people are watching us. They're always watching us. The Bible says, let your light shine. So people are watching you. So make sure that they're watching you for the right reason. Make sure that you're not a distraction from the word of God. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, our gentlemen, for doing a very fine job. Thank you so much for listening, hanging out with us, participating during the week. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life or deepen your relationship with God because later is not promised to us. Until Monday. God spares our life. There will be no prayer this Sunday, but I will hopefully join you, God spare our life, on Monday for shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Until then, God spare our life. I love you.